Bless the Lord. I'd like to speak to you this morning from Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 4. And there's two verses, as you can see on the screen there this morning. Daniel chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. You may know this verse, you may not. And this is Daniel speaking to the king. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. And this is God's word to Nebuchadnezzar. It says, "Your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, your majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that then your prosperity will continue." We're going to come to that in a short moment. I'd like to start off this morning's talk by talking about, have you ever heard that expression, how long is a piece of string? We've all heard that. And in a similar tone, I'd like to ask you a question. You don't have to give me an answer today. It's a rhetorical question. How long does it take to learn a lesson? Now, I can hear you laughing because the very reason that you're laughing is it depends. It depends on what it is that you're trying to learn. It depends on you as a person if you're open to learning a lesson. Do you remember when you were in school and the teacher or the master was up at the front at the blackboard and they were trying to teach you some kind of lesson? And there may be of times where you were listening to what he or she were saying and you got it. You got it straight away. You thought, yes, I can understand what you're trying to teach me. Or there may have been times where you just didn't get it. That it took a long time. And I think that it takes time to learn a lesson. You know, there are some lessons in life and in faith that you get straight away. And then there are other times where it takes time. But you got to be open to learning a lesson. Like, for instance, if you're driving down the road and you broke the speed limit and you got a fine, and you paid a fine. But if you kept on driving down the road and you kept on driving fast and you got another fine, you paid another fine, you're not learning the lesson. So there are lessons. There are lessons in life, aren't there, that we learn. I think about my own life. When I make mistakes or when I get it wrong, I just think to myself, "Oh, Alan, come on, like, why didn't you learn the lesson before you made the mistake? Because if you had to learn the lesson before you made the mistake, you wouldn't have made the mistake, but now I'm learning because I've made a mistake or I've got it wrong." Wouldn't it be great if we could all learn the lessons without making the mistakes? Often it's the other way around because that's life. We're all learning. So that's what the journey of Jesus and his disciples was all about. He called them to himself and he took them on a journey of learning. That's what it is to be a disciple. It's a journey of learning. God is teaching you different things on the journey of life and faith. And your job or your role in this relationship of learning is to, what is it that you're teaching me? What is it that you want me to learn? It's a relationship of learning. I have a dog, and his name is Bruno. He's a lovely dog. And sometimes what I do is I open the front door, and I let him out to the front garden for a little run around. And the thing that I always say to Bruno before he goes out to the front garden, I say, "Don't be barking. Don't be barking. Whatever you do, don't start barking." But you know what Bruno does? He goes out to the front and he starts barking. And then I come back into the house and I say to myself, "Alan, will you just not learn the lesson? You can't tell a dog not to bark. It's what they do. And I just don't seem to learn the lesson." Ah, we're all learning lessons, aren't we? We're all learning lessons. Life is a journey of learning lessons. What are some of the lessons that you're learning? You only know them yourself. Somebody once said, "The most valuable lessons are not taught in the classroom, rather they are experienced through the difficulties of life." That's true. We learn good things in the classroom, and I know because we have somebody that teaches in the classroom this morning. There's some good stuff that's taught and learned in the classroom. To you who are students this morning, to you who are teachers this morning, the classroom is a good place. but also the classroom of life. When you go through a difficulty, you will have learned some lessons that you may not have learned in a classroom or in a textbook. We do learn lessons in the journey of life. One lesson that I've learned, and I think I still need to learn, and I think that it's a lesson for us all to learn and to keep on learning, is the lesson not to quit. Don't quit. As you're on the journey of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will maybe at times experience some difficulties or some obstacles that will come your way. And the lesson that you need to learn, and you probably already have learned it time and time again, is not to quit. Is not to quit. Don't bow out. Don't throw the towel in. Don't say, hey, this is all over for me. I'm out. I'm going. I'm getting out of here. No, don't do that. Don't quit. I came across a little poem, and it's called Don't Quit. I'd like to read it to you. As things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when all is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint on the clouds of doubt. And you can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things go wrong that you must not quit. Friends, if there's one lesson that God would like you to learn, is not to quit. Don't quit walking by faith. Don't quit looking to Jesus for grace and for strength. Don't quit depending on Him for forgiveness or for strength or for encouragement. Don't quit reading your word, for it's in there are the treasures of life. Don't quit on the journey of God that you have been walking, that as you look out into year 2019, that on this day that you say to yourself and you say to the God that you serve, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, Lord, I'm not going to quit. No matter what comes my way, no matter what obstacles I face, no matter what difficulties or disillusioned I may become, I am going to say today, I give you my commitment. I'm not going to quit. And so there, as you say that to God, He takes hold of you and He continues to strengthen you and to walk with you. Paul said something similar. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I've not already achieved all this, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what is ahead. I press on to reach the goal of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God has called me through Jesus Christ. You know, Paul had this mindset of keep on going, of focusing on what is ahead. There's one thing that I do, I forget the past, and so 2018, it's gone. It's in the river, and the river has flowed, the waters are flowing, it's gone, it's over. 2019 is the new year, and so don't quit. Keep on walking with Jesus. Keep on depending on the Holy Spirit. Keep on looking to Him for the provision for your life. Don't quit in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one lesson. The psalmist, he was learning lessons as well. David, he wrote in that very long psalm, you've probably read it so many times, Psalm 119, that really, really long psalm. But in verse 71 and 73, he learned some lessons. Verse 71 says this, my suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention. Sometimes we suffer in some way, shape or form. And what it does, it refines us. It causes us to focus on the teaching of God. Or it focuses on to teach or to look at what God would desire of us. And so sometimes when you're having a difficult time or you're suffering in some way, you can learn a lesson through that if you're willing and if you're teachable. In verse 73, he says, you made me. You created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. Hey, somebody once said, common sense, not common all the time, but the lesson for me and for you is, Lord, I want to continue to keep on following you. I want to keep on focusing on your word. I want to keep on depending upon your Holy Spirit. I want to learn the lesson, not to quit, but just to continue following you. We're all learning lessons this morning. We're on a journey of learning lessons. This particular scripture is all about a man, and that man was named King Nebuchadnezzar. He wasn't a very nice man. He wasn't a very nice king. And because he was a king, he had all the things that a king has. He had rule. That's what a king has. He can rule. So whatever he says, people do. He had authority. That's what kings have. They have authority. No, whatever the king says, people do, because he has authority. And I can picture him now. He may have had a crown on his head. He may have had a scepter. And he may have had a robe. I don't know. But this king that is spoken about in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, God was speaking to him in a very particular way. He would give him dreams. And the difficulty that King Nebuchadnezzar had was he couldn't interpret the dreams, and so he needed somebody else. And so often what he would do is he would get all the wise people of the land, the astrologers, the philosophers, all of these people, and he would say, I want you to interpret my dream that God has given me. And they couldn't do it. But there was one man who could do it. And his name was Daniel. He was a servant of the Lord. And what happened was, this king, he was ruling and reigning in a way that wasn't very nice. He was ruling with an iron fist. He was treating people very, very badly. He's the guy that set up this gold statue, 90 feet tall and 90 feet wide. And he put out this decree. You probably heard it. If you don't bow down to the statue, I'm going to throw you into a blazing furnace. And he did. He threw three of God's servants into the furnace. But what happened was, you know the story, that God came and he rescued his servants. This king, Nebuchadnezzar, he was treating people not very nice. He was inflicting fear and an intimidation. And what happened was, he wasn't learning the lesson. And so what happened was, in chapter 4, God gave Daniel a word to interpretate the dream to give to Nebuchadnezzar. And these are the words. He says, your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. See, the one lesson that King Nebuchadnezzar had to learn was that heaven rules. Heaven rules. He may have thought that he was not accountable to anyone, but he was accountable. He was accountable to heaven. And you know something? I'm accountable to heaven because I'm a citizen of heaven. And you're accountable to heaven because you're a citizen of heaven. See, when you came to the Lord Jesus, even though you live on earth, you're a citizen of heaven. And there's one thing I want to share with you this morning, is that, do you know that heaven rules? Heaven rules. Heaven rules yesterday. Heaven rules tomorrow. Heaven rules forever. Heaven rules. And when I was thinking about heaven rules, I was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his life. You see, when the Father turned to the Lord Jesus in eternity past, and he says, will you go to the earth? Will you become the Savior? And Jesus says, yes, heaven was ruling back then. And so Jesus came and he was born through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when that took place in Mary's life, do you know something? Heaven was ruling. And when Mary and Joseph set off on a journey together, heaven was ruling in their lives. And when there was no room at the inn, heaven was still ruling over the circumstances and over the situations. Heaven was ruling. Heaven rules. And when Jesus grew up and he began his ministry, do you know something? Heaven was ruling in his life and over his life. And when he began to preach and when he began to teach, heaven was ruling over his life. And when he began to call the disciples and call the apostles to follow him, do you know something? Heaven was ruling over the life of Christ. Even in the times when people were coming against him and accusing him, and saying things against him, heaven was still ruling for his life, in his life, over his life. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was in turmoil, heaven was still ruling. When they nailed him to a tree, when they put a nail in the right hand and a nail in the left hand, and they crucified him on Calvary's cross, even though it may not seem so, do you know something? Heaven was still ruling in those situations. And over the life of Christ, heaven was ruling. Heaven rules. And on the third day, when he rose again, when he rose by the power of God, heaven was ruling. And when he was taken up to the clouds before their very eyes, heaven was ruling. This is what I think. Heaven was ruling in the life of Jesus. Heaven was ruling over the life of Jesus. Heaven was ruling beside the life of Jesus. Heaven was ruling for the life of Jesus. And so therefore, if heaven rules for the life of Jesus, don't you think he's going to rule for your life? Heaven rules over your life. Heaven rules for your life. Heaven rules. Have you ever thought about your life? Heaven rules. Heaven rules concerning your life. Heaven rules. Heaven rules to support your life. Heaven rules. Heaven rules to help your life. Heaven rules. Heaven rules to advance your life. Heaven rules. Heaven rules concerning the plans and the purposes of God for your life. Heaven rules. Heaven rules concerning the promises of God that are found in the Word of God for your life. Heaven rules. Heaven rules to send provision from the heavens down upon your life, that you may know the provision of God, because heaven rules. Heaven rules to promote you into the presence of God without fault and without blemish, because heaven rules concerning the blood of Jesus for your life. Heaven rules. Heaven rules for you. Heaven rules over you. Heaven rules beside you. Heaven rules behind you. Heaven rules for your life as it ruled for the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is with you and heaven is for you. Heaven seeks to support you. Heaven seeks to advance you. Heaven seeks to uphold you. Heaven rules for your life. If there's one thing I'd like you to learn today. No, there's two things. One is don't give up. Keep on walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second one is acknowledge and know that heaven rules when it comes to your life. Heaven is ruling for you, to help you, to support you, that you may keep on going in the will of God, in the love of God, in the power of God, with the Holy Spirit of God, in the knowledge of God. Heaven rules. Will you say with me, heaven rules for my life. Heaven rules. Will you acknowledge that heaven rules? And when the enemy comes against you, as he often does, you have to remind him, heaven rules. When he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and to rob you of the joy, and to rob you of the precious faith that you have in Christ Jesus, you have to remember to yourself, and you have to remind him, heaven rules. The end of the book tells me, heaven rules. Heaven rules today. Heaven rules tomorrow. And heaven rules for my life. Heaven rules. When we doubt in the dark what we believe in the light, we have to remember that heaven rules. That we as citizens of heaven come under the rule of heaven. And so therefore we surrender to heaven and we welcome heaven. And we say, Lord, let your rule for my life be so in my life for 2019. I come under the rule of heaven. And do you know something, friends? There's no better life. There's no better life than a person who comes under the rule and the love of heaven. For heaven is heavenly. It's a heavenly place. And so may we know the heavenly place and the heavenly treasures come down into our hearts for 2019. That we say along with each other, I submit and I surrender to heaven's rule, because there's no better life. Do you know something, friends? It pleases the Father. It brings a joy to his heart, and it pleases the Son, and it pleases the Holy Spirit when a life comes under heaven's rule. When somebody says, Lord, I'm going to come into your rule, I'm going to come under your wings, I'm going to come under your love, I'm coming under the rule of heaven. I desire heaven in my life. And so this morning, there's one thing I wanted to share with you, and that heaven rules for you. It's for you to know that you're not on your own, that heaven is with you. Heaven is standing by you. You've got the rule and you've got the Lord Jesus with you, supporting you, wanting you, nudging you forward to keep on going, because heaven rules concerning your life. When I think about Jesus ruling in heaven, I could see him. He's seated on the throne next to the Father. How does he rule and how does he reign? He's the King. He's the King of Kings. And I think he rules in love. That's how Jesus rules. He rules in love. It's a heavenly rule, but it's done in love. He rules in peace. You see, Jesus is at peace. He's at peace with the Father. He's at peace with the Spirit. And he's also at peace with himself. And so when Jesus, the King of all kings, the King over King Nebuchadnezzar, when Jesus is ruling, he's ruling in love, but he's also ruling in peace. He's ruling in compassion. He doesn't rule with an iron fist. Rather, he rules with an open hand. And he says, come on, you can keep on going. This morning, there's two things I want you to know. And those two things are two lessons. And the two lessons are, don't quit. Don't quit your faith. Don't quit the journey. Don't quit walking with the Lord Jesus. And the second thing is that you got to know that heaven rules, that you're not on your own, that heaven is watching over you. Heaven is there to help you. Heaven is there to support you. Heaven is coming beside you. Heaven will rule over your life. When things come against you, all you've got to remember is that you're under heaven's rule. You're under the authority and the love and the compassion and the gentleness of heaven. That you're not on your own, that we're all together under heaven, and Jesus is watching over us, and Jesus is supporting us, and Jesus is wanting to just for us to keep on going. But you got to know that heaven rules. Heaven rules. Would you be willing to accept and to acknowledge and surrender? Hey, I'm surrendering to heaven, and that I know that heaven rules. That no matter what they say, no matter what he says, no matter what she says, it's all about what he says. Because what he says is more important than what they say. And that's because he rules. And he's seated in heaven. And heaven rules concerning your life. Daniel, when he delivered this message to King Nebuchadnezzar, he says, you got to acknowledge that heaven rules. You got to acknowledge that, King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel actually mentioned two areas of King Nebuchadnezzar's life. And the first area of his life that he mentions is, he says, your kingdom will be restored. I've highlighted the word restored there. And then the second area was, he says, therefore, your majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. He gives the king advice. I was thinking about that. Imagine giving the king advice. Imagine giving the Queen of England advice. Can I give you some advice, Elizabeth? Can I? Renounce your sins. You know, there you go. Daniel gave the king, Nebuchadnezzar, some advice. It's a strange thing, but God can call you to do something that maybe you never thought you would do. But anyway, long story short, there's two areas. The area of restoration and the area of renouncing. And I was thinking about this as we enter into a new year. Would you like to see restoration? Is that something that you'd like to see in 2019? That you would say, Lord, I want to see restoration. And that restoration may be in your own life. It may be in your own heart. Or it may be in the lives of those that you love and those that you care about. That you have a heavenly desire in your heart to say, I want to see restoration. I want to see a restoration that is governed by heaven, that comes under heaven's rule, that comes under the love and the compassion and the gentleness of heaven. For there's no better restoration than a restoration that is of heaven. And so this morning, that as you acknowledge that heaven rules, would you be willing to say, I want to see restoration. I want to see restoration for the people who have wandered from God, who have gone their own way. I want to see them restored back to the Lord in a healthy relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see them restored to heaven. Not only do I want to see them restored, but I want to know restoration in my life. I want to know the heavenly restoration that the Lord Jesus brings. Oh, restoration. There is a great need for restoration. Would you like to see restoration? I think we could say that to the Lord this morning. I think we could say, hey, yes, we acknowledge that heaven rules. And we want to see a restoration in 2019 that comes from heaven. That is heavenly. There's no better restoration. And then the other thing that Daniel mentioned to the king was, the other or, he says, would you renounce your sins? Don't often hear those words anymore. They're kind of old words, aren't they? Renounce your sins. To renounce is to abandon. It's to turn away. It's to say, I don't want a part of this anymore. I'm walking away. I'm declaring. I'm renouncing that. I'm speaking it out. I'm turning away from that sin. And so this morning, don't quit. Heaven rules concerning your life. Do you want to see restoration in 2019? And would you find the courage? Would you find the strength to renounce sin? When Daniel spoke to the king, he says, renounce your sins. Even the king, in all his wonder, in all his wealth, in all his stature, in all of his position, in all that he was, he himself had sin. And so this morning, I'd like to invite you to do something. I've never done this before. I'd like Emmy to play Jesus, All for Jesus, just slowly. And I'd like you to, if you'd want to, you don't have to, is to, in acknowledgement of a response to the Lord Jesus, to say, I'm not going to quit. That's my commitment to the Lord. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on walking with you. The second thing, would you be willing to acknowledge heaven rules? And that's a good thing. To know that heaven is watching over your life and wants the best for your life. For not only for 2019, but for all of your life. So there are two things. To say, I'm not going to quit, and I'm going to acknowledge that heaven rules. And then the third thing is to say, Lord, I want to see restoration. I want to see restoration in the church. I want to see restoration in relationships. I want to see restoration to those who have wandered from the Lord in some way. I want to see a restoration that's heavenly, because that's the best type of restoration. I desire to see this. And for you to bring it about in 2019. And then the last thing, would you be willing to just, I'm going to say it, renounce. Would you be willing to say, Lord, I don't want any part of this particular sin anymore. I want to start this new year on a new slate, in a new way. And so I'm saying, yes, I'm not quitting. Yes, heaven rules. Yes, I want to see restoration. And I'm also saying no to that particular sin or sins. I'm renouncing. I'm walking away from that. And so in that mode, you're presenting yourself to the Lord. And you're saying, Lord, have your rule and have your loving reign over my life. And so if you're willing to do that, maybe Emmy might play some music in the background. And if you're willing to say those things to the Lord, I'm going to invite you to stand up. I'm not going to invite you all up here, but if you're willing to say, I'm not quitting. Heaven rules and heaven reigns over my life, and I welcome it. I want to see restoration, and I'm also saying no to sin. I'm turning away from the things that I know are wrong, or the things that seek to drag me away from a good and healthy relationship with the Lord. And so, as the music plays, I just invite you to stand and engage with the Lord.